Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. That's Todd Adkins, and my name is Daniel Lin. All right. Hey, you were a part of the intro this time.
I was. It's been a while since I threw a New Churches in there.
Yeah, that is a very
distinct. That's a little OG.
New Churches.
All right. Well, let's do it, man.
Yes. Okay, so this is
I'm
Todd's
here.
Jam.
I'm ready.
Yes, no, Todd is very
I'm on it this time.
Ready. How many people have we now taken through Leadership Pipeline?
4,000. I'm not sure. I'm doing another.
Legitimately over 4,000.
No, legitimately over 4,000. Yeah. And I've got a church tomorrow that I'm traveling to Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
And this week, at the time of this recording, it would have been last month by the time this airs, I would have been in Australia doing Leadership Pipeline.
Boom.
Over there as well. So,
East Coast, West Coast, Midwest,
Undercoast,
worldwide.
All right. So the reason we talk about Leadership Pipeline, or we're talking about Leadership Pipeline right now, is because today's question is all about that. All right. So this was submitted by a Plus member. So I'll read it out for us. What are the biggest issues or challenges that stop churches in creating an effective leadership pipeline? And then part two, how should churches start creating that? Okay. So biggest issues and challenges that stop churches in creating leadership pipeline. We actually have a really good exercise. That's
yes.
Part of our coaching time that gets to this. And we've done this with every single person that's gone through.
Yes.
And it's fascinating that the altars, the three altars.
Four, Daniel.
Four altars, the
yes.
Four altars come up over uh-huh. and over and over again as issues and challenges. So why don't you break that down for
okay.
us, Todd?
So, I mean, seriously, yeah, I'm going to Indiana tomorrow, but I was in India 3 months ago, and we've done it in Australia.
Sounds like
you like how I tied that all together? No, I'm telling you, the challenges that leaders face and churches face are all the same. And about 2,000 churches ago, somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, I basically was like, oh my goodness, I think you can boil down the top 10 challenges that everybody seems to always write up when we do an exercise, boil down to one of four altars. So the four altars idea is, hey, you are sacrificing giving the ministry away on one of these four altars. Mm. And I'll tell you what my tendency was as an executive pastor. You can probably guess. But so somebody would say, excellence, like we must have excellence in our service. And I would say, okay, well, that either comes down to pride, control, fear, or time. Mm. It's one of those four altars. It could be the same thing. It could just be in your, when somebody says excellence, it always comes back to one of those four things. When somebody says, you don't understand, you know, I ask, or it's our people's fault or whatever, it all comes back to one of those four.
Pride,
control, fear, or time.
Or time. Okay.
So time can be, it's easier for me to do myself, or yeah. You don't understand, you know,
yeah,
fill in the blank.
It's going to take longer to train someone else.
All that. Yeah. That's an excuse. That's not.
Yeah.
And that's
or it's
going
to take time to find people to do it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at the four altars, it comes down to that thing. I mean, for a lot of us, we can think of someone in our church who has been doing that ministry. They own that ministry. Mm. For me to go tell them that we're going to give that to someone else or they need to train up someone else, man, that's going to hit them hard in the gut. Why? Because it's a pride thing.
Yeah.
They enjoy being that only person that knows how to do X
yeah.
or being the guy that does X. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you how many churches I've been in where, you know, there's a sound guy and despite the fact that you show up 2 hours early and do all the rehearsing and everything goes swimmingly, suddenly during the service, there's a sound that everyone hears and they run across the sound booth like, you know, Baywatch, or they've got their own soundtrack, and they, you know, magically know just what to do to make it, you know, happen or go away. That's the same guy that puts a lock on his soundboard. I'm not joking.
But to defend the sound guys.
Yes.
There's a big
reason why you put a lock on a soundboard sometimes too.
No, but there's a very big difference between someone who can just push the levers versus someone who knows what they're doing.
For sure.
Yeah, massive skill
Absolutely. Difference. Yeah. What I'm saying is there are different ministry areas where people really want to have control or it's a pride issue or whatever. Control was always my thing. Mm. I knew the way I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
And so it was going to go this way. If I gave it away to someone else, that means that, you know, they might do it differently than I want it done.
Yeah,
and
but
know
you can't,
this is the way it needs to be done. Exactly.
Yeah. And the whole control thing is you can't develop leaders by just giving them a role, but no authority and no ability to make the decisions.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't want to give them the authority to make the decisions because you have a control problem. Right. So
totally.
Great example. Like, you know, top tier campus pastors versus mediocre campus pastors, right? Top tier campus pastors.
Preach.
Right? So the biggest, the thing with top tier, and this is where you want all your campus pastors to go. You ultimately need, they ultimately need to be able to make a decision that is best for the campus in that moment. And sometimes that might actually go against what was agreed on beforehand. Okay. There's a big difference between them doing that every single week.
Right.
Right. That's a whole nother issue. But if in that moment they actually sense, okay, no, because of what's happening in the room, we need to do this. And it's different than what was planned. Hey, if they have the authority to do that, that's great. They just need to answer to the rest of the team as to why they did that.
Right.
But they need to be able to make that decision. But if you have a culture where there's such a high level of control that the spirit may be moving and the campus pastor just completely shuts it down or does something else because that's what was planned, that is not cool.
No.
But you need to give them the authority and you need to have the culture that celebrates that, which is goes all the way back to how effective leadership pipelines work. Right. If you bring in someone from the outside and put them at a ministry director level and they have not developed within, you know, the different levels within the church, obviously there's going to be that conflict and they're not going to have the culture because you've just tried to outsource it all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, generally speaking, centralization of anything is a response to perceived risk or fear.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
So when someone has a tight control over whatever happens at a campus, that often means that instead of addressing the issue or hiring the right person or coaching them through the mistake they made, we put a policy in place to be sure this never happens again.
Hey, multi-site handbooks are great, and it shows that you've done the work in thinking through things, but it's not the letter of the law.
No.
Yeah, because you need the right, you're right, you need the right people around you who can interpret it and who can apply it and
savvy,
have the ability to edit it. Yeah, what?
Savvy people will always outdo savvy systems.
Mm.
Because a system doesn't have the ability to flex when it needs to flex.
Yeah,
and so you hear that's coming from the systems guy. That's coming from the control guy.
Mm.
But if I've done my job and he understands our values and where those are coming from, he understands what's important, he understands the mission, then the dude is going to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to micromanage him. I don't need to, you know, call. Like, if he makes a bad decision, then we're going to have a coaching conversation about that.
Yeah.
We're not going to, like, change a policy or
No. This
will never happen again in this way.
All right, so before we hit the second half of this question, which is how churches can start creating a leadership pipeline, let's listen into a word from our sponsor for today. What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded upon solid truth, or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life, and this is the premise of the new film, Overcomer, in theaters August 23rd. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources. For small groups, there is the Overcomer Bible Study. For individuals, there's a book called Define. And both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. You can learn more about all the resources at lifeway.com/overcomer. So what's your favorite Kendrick brother movie? Honestly, The Death Crawl is like from Facing the Giants. Man, that's an epic scene. I mean, you watch it today, it's hilarious. It's not even like widescreen. Like legitimately, you go on YouTube and it's like, you're like, wait, it's 4x3?
Narrow. Narrow screen. Okay, so I've not gotten a chance to, we're recording this, you know, early June. So yeah. I haven't gotten to see even a pre-version of the film. But yeah. I have seen some of the pre-roll.
Yeah.
Some of the what's it called? You guys know I don't watch
advanced
movies.
Screening or I don't know.
I didn't get to do it at advanced screening, but I've seen the
Trailer.
Trailer, yes. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah.
No. Legitimately.
It was the trailer I kind of teared up on.
Yeah.
And I say that, like, you guys know I don't listen to movies or watch movies
listen to them either.
You know that I'm not probably by listening a terribly emotional person, but the story is that compelling and that moving. And I have girls. And so this girl who is a runner, the only runner on her team and all the stuff that she has to overcome is insane. But just in the trailer, I'm like, oh, this is brutal.
So we were able to interview the Kendrick brothers. So go to the 5 Leadership Questions, episode 356 to listen into that. Anyways, lifeway.com/overcomer to learn more about that. Okay, so let's get to the second half of this question, which is what should churches do to start creating a leadership pipeline? Okay, so you've overcome. Okay, the four altars, fear, time,
control,
power, or control and pride, right?
Yep.
Okay, so once you identify that, and we'd say first thing to do, don't present on that to your church leadership.
No.
Ask them, what issues or what challenges do we all have to better equip the saints for the work of ministry?
Right.
Right.
Like, hey, why isn't this happening, guys? And whatever they toss out at you, then try to ferret out, is this a control issue, a pride issue, a time issue, and kind of go, or fear issue? Because sometimes it's, I'm afraid of the pastor if the mic drops one more time during the service. Or I'm afraid, you don't understand my pastor, Todd.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case might be. I would say the very first thing goes back to really what we were talking about before, where if you don't have a clear vision and values for your church, you're asking people to guess what the win looks like.
Yeah.
Because out of that is where you're going to be able to develop a leadership pipeline, because you want leaders that reflect those values. Because ultimately, the values are culture, and culture is shared behavior. So it all comes back to that crux of being really clear and knowing what our values are, so that I can expect that of my leaders and raise them up in front of people, because people are carriers of culture.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, on the podcast, it's going to be hard to walk through our all-day coaching materials. You can obviously learn more about that leadership.lifeway.com. But if you're a plus member on newchurches.com, and this is brand new for all plus members, annual plus members, you actually get not only all the New Churches courses, but also an individual subscription to Ministry Grid. So as an annual plus member, you can actually go in and take a course on Leadership Pipeline.
Right.
And learn about all the competencies on Ministry Grid. I mean, and then if you can, a subscription for your church is super cheap as well, that you can actually bring your church through. So honestly, when it comes to what is the next step to do that, do the course, right?
Right.
Like, and that's not just like a plug to buy plus membership or Ministry Grid, because I mean, this is, we created this course if you can't make the coaching days.
Right.
It'll help you think through and walk through what are the things that you need to wrestle through and present. The last thing to do, friends, is to just copy in other churches and bring it into yours. No. Right. And that goes to what Todd's saying about the values and the importance of all that. So learn from the course, learn from the experience that we've had in walking churches through this. And we actually also do consults with churches as well. If you're like, hey, you know, we've done this, we've done that, and we really need Todd or Daniel or any one of the other members of the team to come in and help us with that. I mean, as a part of Lifeway Leadership, New Churches is a part of Lifeway Leadership. We actually do that and have seen a lot of fruit in churches when they bring us in. All right. So thanks again for listening in. I know you probably want a little bit more. Okay, let's do this. I know our listeners are probably like, yeah, that sounded like a commercial. Give us some more tips. What are some things that we can take away? And here's what, let's both end with one big takeaway that we have come across as we've coached churches on implementation of leadership pipeline.
Right.
All right. So one thing that I want to say is flip the classroom. Flip the classroom.
Talk about that, dude.
Yeah. So flipping the classroom, basically, you're not going to get 100% of your leaders out anytime you do training.
Ever.
And you have to do training for your new small group leaders, ushers, kids leaders, everyone in the church that's serving. You need to have training. You need to have good training. So by flipping the classroom, you can actually have them watch the training anytime, anywhere. And then when you get together, because it's high tech and it's also high touch, you know, watching the training online is not about, now I don't need to meet them, right? It's not about digitizing development or discipleship. It's, hey, they can watch it on their own time, get the skills, learn all of that. And then let's still get together so we can pray. So you can pray for your leaders, so you can process the material, so you can actually do and serve together and see them in action, right? Where there's knowledge, experience, and coaching. So flip the classroom is the recommendation I would make. How about you?
I would say don't say no for people.
Mm.
So what happens...
Drop the mic.
In a lot of situations... is I basically dare you to serve in my ministry. Wait, what, Todd? I ask people all the time. What are you talking about? I ask all the time. Okay, so here's the deal. Most of the time, in my experience, when I've role played this with somebody who would, you know, push back on this, I'm like, okay, ask me to serve.
Yeah.
How do you ask people to serve? And so a lot of times what they'll say is they set it up really big, like, hey, anybody can do this. Is that compelling? Hmm. No. I really only need you this time. I really, really need you. You don't understand. We have to have someone in this classroom for this number of kids.
So inspiring, Todd.
Yes. And that is not compelling.
No, it's not.
When you get people, you're going to get the bottom of the barrel. No offense. Hmm. But who wants to sign up for that?
Yeah.
What leader is going to sign up for that? You have done everything. You've offered me an out. You're saying, oh, you know, hey, I know you're really busy, but I know you're art. Whatever it is, we often will say no to people before we even start. The other thing is be sure that you know what you're asking them to do. Mm. Give very clear direction to what you're doing. So, you know, again, part of on ministry, there's like 90 some role descriptions.
Yeah.
Because every role needs a role description. So I can clearly ask you, hey, I want you to sign up for this, but I want you to know what you're signing up for. And I want to be really clear about that. So bring clarity is super, super important too. Say I gave you two.
Yeah. There you go. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. And yeah. Just thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we would be honored if you would share it with your friend. Maybe there's another church planter or pastor or church leader that you think could benefit from this episode. Just hit the share button on your podcasting app or send them the link. And yeah, we would be forever grateful. All right. Thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next week.